Thank you very much, Alain, for giving me, for inviting me here, for giving me the opportunity to talk about our work on semaphorin 3A, a repulsive protein that has been mentioned already a couple of times. I will discuss work with you that we have done showing that this repulsive axon guidance molecule is associated with spironeuronal nets and perhaps has a important role in these plasticity associated structures. During development, semaphorin 3A is a chemorepulsive axon guidance cue. It's a very large family of proteins, but I will only talk about class 3 semaphorin member, semaphorin 3A. And during development, this protein is an axon repulsive axon guidance molecule, and that's probably best illustrated with these two assays, a repulsion assay where you culture two dorsal root ganglia next to a clump of cells that either secretes or that either produces DFP or secretes SEMA3A, and as you can see, the axons, the neurites of the DRGs are not able to grow in this assay towards the clump of cells. So this is illustrating the chemorepulsive activity, and here you see a growth cone that has been exposed to semaphorin 3A. Semaphorin 3A, and that has also been already mentioned, is signaling through a multi-component receptor complex consisting of neuropilins and plexins. Semaphorin 3A is also expressed in the adult nervous system. A very early work of Jeroen Pasterkamp and a number of other people in my lab showed that semaphorin 3A is induced in the neural scar following an injury. But the protein is also expressed in the intact adult CNS at multiple locations, for instance, in the hippocampus here in the CA2 area, an area that's apparently very rich in extracellular matrix molecules, as already shown by Andreas also, in the superior and inferior colliculus, in the deep cerebellar nuclei of the cerebellum, and also in the cortex. And this is, so the brown staining is semaphorin 3A staining. This is a rather vague picture, but when you zoom in the cortex, for instance, you immediately see that semaphorin 3A is localized or is only present in scattered neurons throughout the cortex. And in this enlargement, you see that it is around a selected set, subset of neurons in the cortex. It seems to be on the membrane or just outside the membrane. And when we saw this pattern of staining, I did email this picture to James, asking him, do you think that this could be semaphorin in perineuronal nets? And he said, well, that's absolutely possible. It was quite unexpected that we found this. So we, based also on his advice, used a number of markers to co-stain semaphorin 3A, for instance, with WFA, a classical marker of perineuronal nets, and there was actually very nice overlap between SEMA3A immunocytochemistry and WFA staining. Also a number of other CSPGs, antinacin R, shown in this slide, showed close overlap with semaphorin 3A. So here you see the semaphorin 3A panels, and here the different CSPGs, antinacin R, and here the merge. As you can see, there's really very close overlap between the two signals. So when you look at very high magnification, confocal images, the signal or the semaphorin 3A distribution was also showing this typical honeycomb-like structure, like pattern, that has been recognized and observed and published by many, many people. And this really, together with the co-localization studies, made us think that semaphorin 3A is a component of perineuronal nets. Semaphorin 3A is located in the PNN of GABAergic PV-positive inhibitory neurons in the cortex. Here semaphorin 3A is in red, this is PV and this is the merge. And it's like really encapsulating the net, the red semaphorin 3A positive net is really encapsulating the green cell, the PV positive cell. It's not present in the perineuronal nets of all PV positive neurons, then we counted this, it's present in approximately 50% of PV positive neurons. So a subset of PV positive neurons has SEMA3A positive nets. Here there are three neurons that clearly don't have SEMA3A in their nets, and here there are two that have a SEMA3A positive net. SEMA3A in the net closely surrounds synapses on the PV cell bodies. That's shown here with a number of markers. This is SEMA4A3, and this is a marker for synapses, SV2. And when you look at this, it's in a high magnification. The red staining is the synapse, the green staining is pyrineuronal net stained with an antibody for SEMA3A. The synapses are really surrounded by this chemorepulsive molecule. Also, when we use GAT67, that's clearly the case. Receptors for semaphorins are expressed on the membrane, the cell membrane of PV neurons. This is a staining for plexin A4, one of the receptors for semaphorins, and it's present in a punctate pattern on the cell surface of the PV positive cell, which is in red here. Here you see an enlargement, and when you look at this using a PV cells positive marker, you can really see that the puncta are associated with the membrane of the PV cell and are overlapping with the KV31B signal. When we do a staining together with SEMA4A3, this is plexin again, the receptor. This is SEMA4A3 in the nets. These are the synapses, and this is the merge of this triple staining. So you can clearly see that the synapses kind of touch the net. The synapses are not plexin A1 positive, but the puncta on the surface of the membrane, plasma membrane of the PV neuron, the plexin puncta, are clearly distinct from the synapses. Sometimes they touch the SEMA4A3 positive net. So the close proximity of the receptor on the plasma membrane of PV cells and SEMA3A in the PNet suggests that there is signaling between SEMA3A in the net and the PV cell membrane, and that there is probably no signaling, at least based on the staining for plexin-4, between SEMA3A in the net and the synapses. We did some more work on the localization of the receptor. We used a marker for lipid rafts, flotalin, and we can show that at least some of the plexin positive puncta are present in the lipid rafts. So there's some overlap. There are also some puncta that do not overlap with flotalin, but lipid rafts come in many forms. So this leads to this kind of subanatomical configuration. SEMA4A3 in the pyrineuronal nets, the receptors in flotalin positive puncta, sometimes in close association with the net. Sometimes we also see plexin 4A kind of next to the net. And the question, of course, is how does this work? Is there indeed signaling between SEMA3A and the PV cell? So this actually generates a model of the net, and I stole this picture from Jessica, who will talk also this afternoon. And this is actually the model she did build in her review, and I think we can now safely say that SEMA4A3 is a component of pyrineuronal nets. So what is the source of SEMA3A in pyrineuronal nets? Where does it come from? And is SEMA3A affected by plasticity-enhancing treatments like degradation of the net with chondroitinase ABC, an enzyme that was also already mentioned by Andreas, or by genetically removing the nets by deleting one of the important proteins in the net, the link protein? Well, before I show you some of these results with chondroitinase, I want to show you what happens when you transfect SEMA4A3. I have to go back. what happens when you transfect SEMAFORM3A in cortical neurons in culture. So I hope this works. So this is GFP tagged SEMAFORM3A in a cortical neuron. And actually, you see four different phenomena. First of all, you see vesicles moving in anterograde direction. You see also vesicles moving in a retrograde direction. There are also stable puncta on the cell. When you carefully look, there are some hotspots, some SEMAFORM3A hotspots that don't move at all. And there is, that's also interesting, a kind of cloud of SEMAFORM3A around the cells in the culture dish. So this suggests that SEMAFORM, at least under these circumstances, is transported, bidirectional, it's secreted, but there are also deposits on the cell membrane. And by using a pH-sensitive GFP-tagged SEMAFORM3A, we could nicely show that there are indeed stationary vesicles on the surface of the cell, and there are vesicles in the cell that release SEMAFORM. This is the stationary image, and here you see two hotspots that are present without any depolarization on these cortical neurons, so it's an enlargement of this area. And when you then stimulate these cells with KCL stimulus, you see other spots occurring. So these are intracellular vesicles that are acidic, and therefore you don't see the GFP SEMA3A. But when you give this KCL, when you depolarize the cells, the vesicles become more basic and SEMA3A becomes visible. So this really shows you that there is intracellular transport of SEMAFORM3A, but that the protein is also secreted and that it may adhere to the cells, to the outside of the cells. So we also worked with chondroitinase ABC. So we treated some of these cells with chondroitinase ABC. And as you can see here, then SEMAFORM3A is released into the medium. So this is an example where we harvested the medium and where we looked at SEMAFORM3A in the medium after adding different concentrations of chondroitinase ABC. When we inject chondroitinase ABC in the cortex of a mouse or a rat, chondroitinase ABC is clearly digesting away the SEMAFORM3A staining. So this is a picture in an area where the enzyme didn't come. This is in the region of the cortex where the enzyme was really infused and did its work. And this is close to the boundary of this injection site where the nets are disturbed, but there's still some SEMAFORM3A present. This also works with another enzyme, hyaluronidase. And James has a link knockout mouse. In the wild-type mouse, the nets are clearly stained. But in the mouse where the link protein is knocked out and the nets fall apart, SEMAFORM3A is clearly gone. When we treat the cortex with chondroitinase A and degrade the PNN, the receptor localization is also changing, clearly changing. So this is a non-digested example. So here you see the net in red, plexin puncta on the cell surface. This is following mild digestion. There's still a little bit of a net, SEMA3 positive net present, and the puncta here are nearly gone. And when you look at a complete digestion, SEMA4N3A is completely gone, but the plexin puncta and plexin protein appears to have been moved inside the cell. So apparently the net is necessary to keep plexin A4 at the membrane of the BV cell. Somehow the recruitment of this receptor to the membrane is dependent on the perineuronal net. In collaboration with Jessica and James, we did also some biochemical experiments, for instance, a biochemical fractionation in which the brain GAGs are isolated. And in the soluble GAG fraction, there's actually hardly any semaphorin detected, but in the membrane and PNN GAG fraction, which are fractions that are obtained by more rough treatments of the tissue, semaphorin 3A is clearly retrieved. Also in ELISAs, PNN GAG fractions compete for SEMA3A binding to heparin. Here you see that the SEMA3A or that the PNN GAGs really have a big effect on the binding of SEMA3A to heparin. It's nearly completely displaced. And Jessica also did this for a number of purified CSPGs for, I think, Agrican. For instance, you see that there is very, very robust displacement. In collaboration with Linda Sui-Wilson and James and Jessica, we also performed a GAG microarray. And there we observed very specific association of SEMA3A with CSE and with heparin, and very little association with CSA, CSC, CSD, and CSB. So that led us to address the question, how is SEMA associated with the ACM? Is this through its basic domain? It was the domain that was suspected to be the binding domain with the extracellular matrix. So we produced a number of mutations, a basic domain mutation. This is transfection with the wild type semaphorin 3A. There's clear expression intracellular and extracellular of SEMA3A, so it binds to the matrix here. With the basic domain, we actually only observe intracellular expression, and very little extracellular expression. Well, this would suggest that the basic domain is very important, and actually we see this also when we do the signal sequence mutation. This would suggest that the basic domain is indeed important, but when we looked on Western blots in the medium and in the cell lysate, we see quite nice secretion of SEMA with the full-length protein, but not with the basic domain and not with the signal sequence. So apparently the basic domain is also disturbing the secretion of SEMA3A into the medium. And then I think there was a very important paper published for us, an eye-opener for us, by Alain. He showed that this particular 7-amino acid sequence here is a sequence that is the CSA binding motif for OTX3. And when we looked into the sequence of semaphorin-3A, we found that this sequence is actually present in the C-terminus of semaphorin-3A. And it's very specific for semaphorin-3A. It's not present in any of the other semaphorin family members. It's present in the C-terminal domain. It's located here, the red amino acids. And of course, this then encountered communication between Alain's group and myself, and we are currently working on proving that this is indeed the CSE binding site, the SEMA3A binding site to the perineuronal nets. We are in the process of generating a number of constructs with the PN binding site mutation. We also mutate a number of furin sites in order to be able to follow the protein better. And actually the green constructs are ready, and we have tested some of these. And one of the peculiar observations we made was that when we make the mutation, the AA mutation, in the OTX binding site in semaphorin-3A, semaphorin-3A is running slightly lower than the wild-type protein. And actually, I don't know what that means, and I don't know whether that has been observed for OTX2, because the same mutation was made by Alain. We have sequenced the construct, so these are very early results, and somehow the protein runs faster in the gel when you make this mutation. However, the protein is still functional. These are repulsion assays. So these cells here either express GFP, wild-type SEMA3A, or histec SEMA3A, wild-type SEMA3A, and SEMA3A with the mutation in the OTX binding site, and all these constructs are clearly repulsive. There's clearly repulsion. So at the moment, we are starting to do binding experiments and competition experiments to see whether this is indeed the binding site in SEMA3A for the perineuronal nets. Well, finally, I want to show you a couple of results, which is also work in progress, together with Tommaso Pizzaruzzo and Elena Boggio, on the possible function of SEMA3A and PNF. And this is actually a time course, a developmental time course of SEMA3A. So in early in P35 animals, and critical period is clearly open, there's only very little semaphore in 3A in the perineuronal nets, and this increases over time. The nets are nicely filled and thickly stained for semaphore 3A at P19. And this actually corresponds also to the cells with the perineuronal net that Tommaso showed in his paper in 2003. So what's the function of semaphore 3A in perineuronal nets? And the hypothesis here is that it contributes to the closure of the critical period and restrains plasticity during adulthood. So we generated a number of so-called receptor bodies, neuropilin bodies, with preferential binding for semaphore in 3A. So this is a receptor body that binds both SEMA3A and VEGF, but this is a receptor body that's specific for VEGF only, and this is a receptor body specific for SEMA3A only. And we use these receptor bodies so they are used as scavengers for SEMA3A. We clone these receptor bodies in AAV vectors, express them in the cortex. That works quite well. This is TFP, and this is for the neuropilin 1 receptor body. And then we use this in collaboration with Tommaso in his ocular dominance plasticity model, where we first waited for the critical period to close. Then we injected at P100 AAV and P1. We allowed 3 weeks for expression of the NP1 body. And at that time, Tommaso performed monocular deprivation, and 1 week later, he measured visual evoked potentials. And the result is shown here, and this is still quite in progress, but with the control vector, there is a clear difference between the contralateral and ipsilateral visual evoked potential. But when you infuse AV and P1, there is a restoration of visual evoked potential in the ipsilateral cortex. So the expression of this protein, neuropilin body that interferes with SEMA3A signaling, appears to reinstate ocular dominance plasticity. So these are is an early indication that SEMA3A in perineuronal nets is involved in plasticity. So to summarize the data I showed you, SEMA3A is, I think, a component of perineuronal nets. It interacts with the PNN by binding to the GAGs in the CSPGs, and it preferentially seems to interact with CSE. There's crosstalk, potential crosstalk between OTX2 and SEMA3A via a coming binding site in the proteins. The SEMA3A receptor component, plexin A4, is present on inhibitory interneurons, suggesting signaling between SEMA in the net, ECM, and the PV cell body, and neutralization of SEMA3A in the visual cortex enhances optical dominance plasticity in adult rats. So I think that SEMA3A in PNN is a molecular target to enhance plasticity. So this has by now become a project that's performed all over Europe. So started in Cambridge and Amsterdam, collaboration between James and Jessica and my lab. Daniela Carulli is involved in the project. We are also working on semi-imperial neuronal nets in the deep cerebellar nuclei, and then recently the interaction with Clémence and Alain in Paris.
Thank you, Just.